Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I love that. Oh, you got to hear a little Bob Uecker. 408, Adam in for Jason on this Friday afternoon, hour two of the broadcast. And we started with the Tom Clancy novel that is what's happening with the former president and the investigation into what documents were taken from Mar-a-Lago. By the way, you can subscribe to the podcast, the Jason DeRussia podcast, Drive Time with DeRussia. So you get automatically downloaded all this stuff. So if you miss it, you can tune in later. Brian Murphy writes for Bring Me the News and also a Purple Insider. He usually joins myself and Jordana 9 to noon, but since I got bumped back, I took Murph with me. He joins us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Brian, let's start with Kirk Cousins. Number two for him in regards to the COVID-19 diagnosis. Boy, that this changes the whole game plan now. Sunday against the Raiders, you know, that first pregame, that's a tone setter. And now, boy, all bets are out. All playbooks are out the window now.
Yeah, it kind of brings everything back full circle. He wasn't available for their final game against their final meaningful game against Green Bay in January, and now he's unavailable for their first preseason game. I doubt he was going to play anyway. No. He might not have even traveled. So I guess timing is everything. We all know Kirk is unvaccinated, proudly so. But the protocols are a lot different this season. Instead of having to be forced to be away from your team for, I think it was 10 days or at least something like that last year, it's down to 5. So he's eligible, assuming he feels okay, reported minor symptoms. He should be back. He could be back as early as Tuesday to prepare for preseason game number one. So the Sean Mannion, Kellen Mond battle is on in Vegas.
And based on the beat writers who've been out at TCO Performance Center, Mond and Mannion et al. Haven't been terribly impressive, and it sounds like there may be a market for a more permanent backup quarterback.
Yeah, Sean Mannion's just the ultimate journeyman. You know, he's basically almost practically a body. So I don't think that's necessarily all that surprising or disappointed. Kellen Mond, however, was a third-round draft pick who is just not developed at all. Mike Zimmer was not a fan. He basically expressed that in his usual crusty way, that he was not a fan of Kellen Mond. And he had another offseason to get ready for a new regime, and it doesn't sound like – just reading the Twitter traffic of some of the daily workouts and whatnot, he's struggling with all kinds of completing all kinds of passes. So it hasn't been pretty for him. So this is a key game for him. Few people are going to really pay much attention to anything else other than, you know, if Cousins is unavailable down the road for any other reason, you know, who's going to take the helm? Sean Mannion, again, just a guy, or Kellen Mond, somebody who invested a draft pick on who is not developing. So if things look ugly on Sunday, they're going to be scouring that waiver wire for probably another guy.
The preseason games. Now we've got, we're down to 3 now. I mean, essentially, every year it seems like fewer and fewer bigger, you know, starters play in these things. They're basically just a chance for people to make the team, or in this case, as you just mentioned, to assess past draft picks and see if there's any, you know, reason to hang on to them.
Yeah, the preseason games have really always been about, you know, getting guys a little bit of sweat, a little bit of action, but everybody holds their breath because the last thing you want to see is a starter or a superstar injured in a meaningless game in August. It's really about the back end of the roster. It's about the backups. It's about the third stringers. It's about the competition for long snapper or the competition at punter or kicker, that these games really sort of make a big difference. The undrafted guys who make a splash in camp during practice, but it's like, can they do it, you know, when play is live? So it's great for coaches You know, it's great for the talent evaluators. It's an awful product for fans who are getting charged full price. Yeah. I don't know who wants to on a summer night watch an NFL game of that caliber on television. So it's really, you know, everybody acknowledges it's a necessary evil. They did reduce the number of games from 4 to 3, so they could tack on a 17th game in the regular season where the revenue is much, much richer for television and just the viewing public. So, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to eliminate preseason games. I don't think you can do that. I think they do serve somewhat of a purpose, but they are, I think, it's just a necessary evil.
Necessary evil, but there's plenty of people, though, that let's get the jersey on, man. It's Vikes Sunday. We got to watch, you know, just an excuse to, you know, get the season started early. And as I said earlier, I give those folks the William Shatner, you know. What's the matter with you people? Get a life.
Well, it's, you know, and it's a way to make hyperbolic predictions about greatness or failure that you're going to forget about in a week and never think about in January.
Your column in Bring Me the News talks about Kevin O'Connell and tempting fate by heaping praise upon a Viking kicker.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, coaches are always going to talk up their guys. And, you know, look, Joseph's had a great camp. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think he may have only missed one field goal either in 11-on-11 drills or the night practice they had the other day, and he's hitting everything from 50-plus. So that's great. But we'll give Kevin, you know, as the rookie here from Los Angeles, a little bit of a free pass because either he doesn't know about the very recent or the last 25-year history of Vikings kickers, or he doesn't really care, and he's pissing into the wind of that, so to speak. Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know, be careful with that because – as we all know in this town, Mike Zimmer blew through kickers like, you know, chewing tobacco. Yes. And we also know the pained playoff misses of Blair Walsh and Gary Anderson. So it's, you know, when you heap all that kind of praise in August on a kicker, boy, let's see what happens when, you know, there's a game winner in week 7 that he has to make or again in the winter when the stakes are highest because the Vikings have had some really, really clutch kickers over the years right up until the moment until they weren't. So it's kind of that tortured history, and I just wanted to poke a little fun and say, okay, I mean, if this you want to go down that road,
just remember.
They'll bring this back up to on you in 6 months if they have to.
That's right. You can check that out and Bring Me the News, Murph, a very entertaining column there. Let's stick with football, but talking – there's this relationship or lack of a relationship between P.J. Fleck and Jerry Kill has always been such an intriguing thing to me. And I say that as the nephew of a guy who played football for the Gophers, is fully invested in the Gophers, my Uncle Jim, who was a Jerry Kill guy from the get-go and still cannot get over the fact that Jerry Kill has been treated unfairly at the U and that P.J. Fleck's just Mr. Rah-Rah and hasn't done anything. But so Jerry Kill is invited to speak to Dunkers, you know, the downtown group that has various sports personalities come and talk to him. But the outcry is so much that the invite is taken aback. What do we make of that, and why do we care so much? And it's just the Fleck followers who are just so just cannot get over can't get any sort of take any sort of criticism of PJ. And by God, if the old guy would just shut up and go away, then we can just keep heaping praise on PJ.
I just don't know who looks good at all in this. I mean, I don't understand why the Dunkers would want to necessarily have a former coach who was let go and caused an uproar among the fan base. But beyond that, he also left a very harsh voicemail for PJ Fleck to listen to, kind of a screed almost.
Yes.
So it's almost like, well, why do you want to bring that guy in? I granted he's in town. It's a week 1 manager. There's going to be a ton of buildup for that game anyway, because of that. Why do you want to, you know, why, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
Just because some of the old guard still feels like Jerry got a raw deal. And look, we're all empathetic with his epileptic seizures and some of the scary moments he had on the sideline. No one thinks Jerry Kill is a bad guy, although that voicemail didn't do him any favors in that realm. But as you mentioned, it's also the PJ Fleck sort of pushback that, you know, there's so many true believers with this guy that think he walks on water. For the backlash to have now, essentially canceled Jerry Kill, I just think it was just a waste of everybody's emotional yes. energy. And kind of, again, somewhat Gophers-esque in the sense that if you can't really play a lot of meaningful games consistently or qualify for bowl games that really, really, truly matter or contend for a Big Ten title on a daily, on a yearly basis, you kind of have to resort to a little bit of the tabloid stuff, and that's where we are this
week. Ryan Murphy's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Just a couple more minutes. Twins look feeble against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and for as much as we want the Twins to be competitive and appreciate the moves they make ahead of the trade deadline, it's just another further example of the haves and have-nots in Major League Baseball. I mean, the Dodgers are pretty good, obviously, but to just not even really be competitive is kind of stark.
Well, the Dodgers are more than pretty good. They're the best team in baseball, and they're flexing their muscles right now. And they're at home where they really dominate well at Dodger Stadium. I thought, you know, it was really disheartening to see because, you know, the way that the Twins kind of got, well, let's just say it out there, they got screwed Sunday by that, by that umpire reversal in New York on the play at the plate with Sanchez. You know, Rocco uncharacteristically comes out and kicks the dirt, throws the hat. There's the big profanity-laced post-game meltdown. Mm-hmm. He gets fined for it. They have an off day. They fly out west. You think, well, maybe they got a little bit of buzz. Maybe they got a little energy. They can reset. And they just lay an egg in L.A. And what it does is, you know, a couple of weeks ago at the trade deadline, the front office did what they needed to do to fill the right holes, trying to infuse some confidence in the clubhouse. And all the Twins have done is kind of gone backwards, and now they're not even in first place anymore. Yep. And I think you look at this club and it's going to be a grind to the end. And if they do win the division with 85 or a couple more wins, does anybody really truly believe that they're going to go into a best of five series against the Houston Astros, the New York Yankees, or maybe even the Toronto Blue Jays and win it? And I don't think there's a lot of confidence in that. I think all people are asking for right now, just win game one.
One game.
So that you can finally shove away that 18-game losing streak and maybe compete. But at this point, they may not even get there. They got big road series coming up against Houston and the Yankees in the next few weeks. And, I mean, they could find themselves in chase staring up at Cleveland and Chicago instead of just barely fending them off.
Yeah, and even they open a series tonight with the Angels, who are playing better baseball than they were previously. So it could be a tough road trip in just to get out of Los Angeles. Last thing here tonight, Sylvia Fowles plays her final regular season game. I think even passive people who pay attention to women's basketball, the WNBA, really underappreciate Sylvia Fowles.
Yeah, and that's endemic, I think, just of the WNBA where it's at. But in this town, I mean, the Lynx have enjoyed such success, and she's endeared herself to the market so much that I think it resonates more here than it may in some other WNBA markets. I know LA and Phoenix have had some good support, but I think in Minnesota, the bond is strong. And I think that the feelings and the outpouring you've seen in the last couple of days are really genuine for a real dominant player and a credit to her league and her craft. So it's been interesting to see. And I don't think it's very surprising coming from Minnesota Nice.
Murph, thanks for the time. Enjoy your weekend. Sorry to keep you so late on a weekend. Now you can hopefully have some time to have a beverage tonight and have a good weekend, sir.
I think I may manage. Take
care. There you go. Thanks. Brian Murphy from Bring Me the News also writes for Purple Insider. He was on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.